Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by the Annie Selke Companies. They know that picking out a rug can be tough, which is why they've curated their Dash and Albert designer favorites to help you zero in on classic, no-fail options for any space. Check them out at annieselke.com/YHL and save 15% off your next order with code YHL15. I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're fessing up to some big changes to our shopping habits, including a recent 180 about a certain online retailer, plus how we narrowly avoided a huge last minute hiccup at the duplex, and why it's good not to be good at everything. We did it. We joined a club.
A very exclusive club in which most of the universe is already a member of.
Yes. We always joke that we were like the only people we knew who weren't on Amazon Prime. And even you guys were like, come on, why are you not on Prime? Isn't it like $50 a year or whatever it is?
It's $100 a year. I think we made a big podcast declaration about why we aren't Prime users, because I think we feared the type of shoppers it would turn us into, like impulse buyers, people that were constantly getting packages.
Yes. Past John and Sherry, how we used Amazon was like, I have to get these two things, but I haven't reached the threshold for free shipping. I'm leaving them in my cart, honey. If you think of anything else we need, maybe a week later, we'd think of something else we need, like filters for the HVAC. We'd put them in our cart. We'd reach the threshold for free shipping. We'd get one shipment from Amazon, maybe a month, maybe two shipments from Amazon a month. Boy, does that change when you have Prime. When you're like, $8 item I need, put in the cart, ship it.
Yeah, I want it tomorrow.
So we predicted it would change our shopping habits, and it has. But it has also really been super helpful in this season of life that we're in, where we constantly need some weird small thing for the duplex. An example was, we were looking for corn holders. They look like corn, and they're prongs, and they go into the end of the corn. And we looked at Target, and I think they were like $8 for four, and they were fancy. And I was like, no. I'm looking for like the cheap plastic corn holders that you can get like 100 for a dollar.
The kitschy ones that everyone knows that are yellow corns.
Little yellow corns. And so we went on Amazon and were able to find like 50 corn holders for maybe $3. And we split them between our house, pink house, both sides of the duplex. Everyone has corn holders.
You're making this sound like we got Amazon Prime just for corn holders.
This is just a very specific example.
That was the straw, guys. Let me tell the story. So actually, the thing that led us to Amazon Prime was actually Costco, sort of.
Another place we very proudly walked around super plucky saying, oh, we don't have a Costco membership. We fear that we'd just get everything in bulk and our house would fill with boxes.
Welcome to our life now. Both of these items were actually given to us by people. Like actually my mom and dad got us the Costco membership for Christmas because they knew we had all the shopping that we're going to do to fill the duplex. Like we had for our beach house gotten our beach chairs and umbrellas at Costco through their membership. Like we went on a trip with them one day.
It was like a reconnaissance mission. We were like, $35 for these Tommy Bahama chairs. Put those in the cart.
Yeah. So they thoughtfully gave us this Costco membership knowing that we were going to have to get beach chairs and umbrellas and a whole slew of other things for the duplex. And sort of the Amazon Prime membership was the same thought, like lots of stuff coming up. Like maybe we should just take advantage of it now.
Well, our issue was that early on, like many years ago, we went to Costco and it was hard to find food that made sense for us because it was such huge packaging. We were in a very small house with a small kitchen. And so we just were like, we don't have space for all that.
Well, and we were just two people. So a lot of the bulk things didn't make sense for us. We're not the smartest grocery shoppers though, we will put out there. So you guys all know that. But I wanted to talk about not only that we have these things and we are members of these clubs and we are quickly becoming shoppers we don't even recognize anymore.
Oh gosh. First of all, we thought that Costco would be helpful for one reason and then it was helpful for a completely different reason.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the place where we'd go get like great deals on big items or like medium items like our toasters and our blenders and our vacuums, like things that we were buying two of for the duplex, you know, one for each side. So here's a great place to go to like a discount warehouse and get these things.
Right. I thought we'd get a cheap coffee maker. I thought we'd get like really great microwaves there. And then we were like, oh no, when you look at things like the blenders, the irons, the hair dryers, all the things I thought I'd get at Costco, they're very often the high-end, expensive, fancy option. Like, the blender was like the $300 Ninja that was $400, so it was definitely a steal for $300, but we were not looking to kit out the duplex with $300 blenders.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that most of the things in there, you only had one or two options to buy. So we ended up buying a lot of those things still from places like Target or Amazon, because there's a plethora of options there, and there are a lot of good, affordable options. So I was surprised actually how little we ended up purchasing from Costco off the bat.
Right, not the coffee makers, none of that stuff. But don't feel bad for Costco, because our friends...
No one feels bad for Costco.
Well, you might be like, why are they crapping on Costco? I love Costco. Nobody's crapping on Costco, first of all.
If they are, they're doing it in bulk.
Well, speaking of bulk, our friends, the winners of the Charmin Forever Roll. You guys remember that? We bought them the huge Charmin toilet paper for guessing the end of Game of Thrones.
Another crappy story.
Well, they have a rental house. It's a mountain house. And they taught us that Costco is actually good for something we weren't thinking about, which is bedding and towels. Like, they were like, basically all of our extra sheets and towels, which you need a lot of because there's cleaning service turnover. You basically need doubles of everything. We've talked about that a little bit, in case they can't wash them all in time for the next guest. So we ran to Costco and we used that membership, and we got so many great, like, soft, wonderful, well-rated sheets and towels. I feel like Costco went and totally redeemed itself.
It did. Well, now that we've gotten most of the things for the duplex, we are trying to find new ways to use the membership, because the membership is a year long. So we've got plenty of time with it to figure out if it's something we want to renew at the end of the year. Because I think it's about $60 per year.
Let me give you an example of how I used Costco wrong. I waltzed in there and I used it as like a bonus snacking place. Like, I found these things. I don't even want to tell you what they're called, because you'll buy them and you'll fall in love and it will be your downfall.
You have to.
Okay, they're called pistachio squares. I am obsessed with them. They are a huge bag of little chunks of pistachios stuck together with only like salt and a little bit of cane sugar or maple, something delicious.
Yeah.
And I became addicted and started buying them because you can't find them anywhere else. I even looked them up on Amazon and I think they're $15 for one bag. Then I noticed at Costco they're $9.99, which is still a lot. And I probably bought like 6 bags of those before I realized I spent $60 on a snack I never used to consume and was fine.
And yet still managed to go through a bag like in one sitting.
I would eat like 30 servings in one sitting. They looked like crunched up granola bars, but I convinced myself they were like little snacking bites. So I would eat like the equivalent of like 30 granola bars of pistachios. And then I was like, oh, I just consumed the entire bag.
Well, but that is what we're trying to figure out how to use our Costco membership for, is food. Because my sister and my mom, who both have memberships, have said, like, it's a great place to get not just bulk items, but also they have a lot of good, like, fresh meats and entrees that you can use to make a really fast, easy dinner. And as people that are always looking for an increased variety of easy meals to make at home, we're starting to discover some good things that we can just like throw together real fast here at home so we don't have to go out to eat.
Yes, I love the little testers they give you, like the samples.
Yeah.
Because we were walking around with our son one day after school and he tried the steak and he liked it and we liked it. And our daughter is like a steak hound, so we knew she'd love it. The steak hound a thing?
Nope.
Coining that, 2019, Jerry Peterson. So she's a little steak hound. And we knew if we cooked it, all of our kids would voraciously eat it. And we loved it. Another example I found that's actually saving us money is I love egg bites at Starbucks. Costco basically has their own version of the sous vide egg bites, and they have cheese and meat in them, just like the ones I love at Starbucks. That saves a ton of money for me.
Yeah, because Sherry is a big egg bite hound.
I am an egg bite hound. Copyright John Peterson, 2019. I think the key is to not make Costco like another place to buy additional random items we do not need on top of other things, and use it as a place to get staples that we actually need that will create meals at home that maybe we would have spent eating out. Replacing those expensive or frivolous purchases will make the $60 purchase of Costco worth it. But if we don't stick to it, or I keep buying pistachio squares, right, we will fall into disarray very quickly.
I think the key actually may be going frequently, which sounds counterintuitive, but I feel like right now I kind of have the IKEA effect when I go there. Like, we don't have an IKEA near us. So when we go, it's like destination shopping. So I feel like I got to get lots of things to make my trip worth it. Or if I might need this, like, I can't pop over and grab it. So I should just get it just in case.
Like, while I'm here for the month, I'll grab everything like a little chipmunk with all the nuts in my cheeks and right. take them back to my house and bury them in the yard.
Yeah, you like kind of hoard when you go to IKEA because you may not be there again anytime soon. And so I feel like that was my first instinct at Costco. But now that I realize, like, it's not that far from our house. Like, we can kind of pop in. And so we'll reduce that urge to get things that I don't need just because I'm here.
Yeah, I think we're really trying to temper it. Like, when we walk through there and we see something cute, an example was, we saw a little bee box. It's like a place where bees can live in your backyard. And we all know we got to save the honeybees. So I immediately was like, we need to buy three of these. We need to put one at the pink house, at the duplex, and at our house at home. And then John was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't think we should get three bee boxes. So we've actually held off. It's still there. It's a great deal. But I feel like I didn't go in there with that on my list. I don't want to come out with a bunch of random things that I never was looking for. If it was the bat box, I would have bought it. Though, I really want a bat box.
You are patting yourself on the back for resisting the urge to buy a bee box.
Three bee boxes.
You'd be a very proficient beatboxer.
Call me Justin Timberlake, guys.
The most famous beatboxer of our day. Okay, but I think we should also talk about Amazon Prime, because this has also been another thing that has changed our shopping habits.
I'm afraid.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's some pros and some cons.
We're just not shopping at all the way we used to, but I'm hoping over time we will course correct a little bit, because I do feel like we've been getting like one thing one day and another thing the next day and another thing the next day. We're not taking the time to think it through because there's no incentive. Like, I don't get free shipping if I bulk things and order all at once. I get free shipping no matter what.
Well, you know, after we did that no spend month last spring, we got a lot of tips and suggestions and stories for how people control their spending and like keep a check on what they're buying and make sure they're not buying impulse things. And one of the biggest tips that we hear lots of people use, and we were sort of using it, was on online shopping places, you know, like leaving in the cart overnight and coming back to it the next morning, or wait till the end of the month to make your Amazon purchase, because it gives you a chance to come back with a fresh eye and say, do I really need these things? Like, yes, it felt good to put it in my cart last night, but now that it's been another day or a week or a month, I've realized I can live without X.
Right. I also think there's power in seeing the total cost when you're putting lots of things in your cart at once, because it can be sobering to be like, what? All those little things added up to $200? I don't want to spend $200. And you quickly pick a few things out. I think the downfall is when you're making all these little like $8.99, $12.99, $15.99 purchases, you are not seeing the cumulative total that wakes you up to like, I just spent this much money.
Yeah, and I think if we can get control of our own impulses, and I think maybe once we've been Prime members a little bit longer, it won't feel so fresh and exciting to be able to get things so quickly. I think we can make a better judgment as to whether we will renew our Prime membership when it expires. Because I think right now I would be hesitant to do it because I don't like how it's affected our shopping habits. But at the same time, I'm realizing there's also lots of side benefits to Prime that we aren't necessarily taking advantage of yet. Like, I know there's Prime TV and like shows and movies there that we haven't really even checked out. And people have been recommending to us Amazon Photo Storage that comes with a Prime account, because it's a free photo storage on your phone that could take the place of the iCloud storage that we're using and paying for every month. So like, actually, if we can convert ourselves over to that system, we could totally make up the cost of a Prime membership by using that, because right now we're paying like 10 bucks a month for iCloud.
Right. And if anyone knows any of those services that Costco does, I know that you can get like certain percentages off at places, share them, and maybe we'll do an update eventually about like all the perks that come with these memberships. Because I think if you're like us and you're listening, you're like, but why would I spend money to save money? So you really have to see the benefits, like, oh, if it can replace my iCloud and save me $120 a year, heck yeah, I'm going to spend $99 a year.
Or could I subsist entirely on pistachio bites?
No, the answer is no. You always feel bad when you have 30 servings, guys. I can tell you that off the bat.
But enough shopping talk. I feel like we should get into a segment we like to call, well, that's embarrassing. So the other day we were working in the duplex and something awful started happening.
The worst.
Especially considering we are just like weeks away from having our first Airbnb guest stay. We were in there working and I started to hear a really loud like buzzing, kind of like clanking coming from one of the HVAC units downstairs. Like, I turned on the AC because it was hot in there and it was like really, really loud.
And you know, when you have two units, you can go to the other side and say like, definitely doesn't sound like that over here.
I just got really annoyed because it's like, we don't want to have these little issues. I mean, I'm glad it was happening now and not when a renter was there. Like, at least we had the opportunity to solve it. But I just did not want another thing unchecked off our list.
Right. It just felt like these are new units. How many things are going to go wrong? We've had all these water problems. Now we're going to have an HVAC problem?
Exactly. So I made a video of the sound so that we could send it to the guy who installed it so we could help figure out what was going on. Like, is this an issue that he thinks I could fix, or is there something bigger going on?
So I texted it to our HVAC guy who, you know, we're friends with all these people at this point. They've done work for two houses with us. And he was like, oh gosh, your motor has gone. And I was like, we just installed this. Why would the motor go? And he was like, I have no idea, but that's what it sounds like. I'll come by and I'll check it out. But if I have to order it, I won't get it for a few weeks. So we're going to be pushing up against your first renter. And we started to get hives, just like total panic. And I was like, this is just our luck. Why are things breaking that are new? And then we made an arrangement for him to come by the very next day. He was super responsive. He was like, I'll come by so we can have it on order as soon as possible, as soon as we're sure that's the issue.
Yeah, he came by. I went over to meet him because you were with the kids back at our Pink Beach house. And he's opening up the unit and trying to see, you know, what happened to the motor. And I'm trying not to look because sometimes I just like rather him just deal with it and me not take on all the stress of every moment of him trying to diagnose it. And then I hear him say, well, this is an easy fix, which was, you know, music to my ears. Like, I was glad to hear that maybe he could fix it that day and he didn't have to order a part. And I say, oh, good. So what happened? He goes, someone left the instruction manual in here.
Like within the fan, flapping against the motor and the fan vibrating was a booklet inside of the unit.
Yes, easy fix. He was able to take out the booklet and it was all fixed. But here we are feeling dumb again that we have called one of the pro installers over to our house for like a very basic thing that had I just gone in and opened it, I would have probably seen the booklet and taken it out.
I know, but I'm always afraid for you to open it because it says like, voltage, do not touch unless you're a pro.
Well, I mean, it's the part that I have to open to like change a filter anyways.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that part.
I think it was just the fact that we had like made the video, which is something we always recommend to people. Like if you're having an issue, try to document it because you can't be certain that the issue will recreate itself when the professional shows up.
Right, but if they can hear it, they can usually diagnose it. And we sent it to him and he immediately was like, that's your motor.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we didn't open it. And if he had said, oh, it's something you can do, open it up and look at what's inside, it sounds like something's flapping around in there. Right.
Well, even if he had said like, oh, it might be this, why don't you just check? Or if he'd given any sort of doubt in it, I think I probably would have investigated a bit more on my own. So maybe I shouldn't feel so embarrassed that like he had to come all the way out to figure that out.
No, I think we all were relieved. He was psyched. He didn't have to order a motor. And also, we didn't put that booklet in there. So I think he was glad to correct whoever had left that in there. Maybe one of his guys or someone else on the job site. Somehow it got in there. And I think he was just happy to have been able to pluck it out, close it up and say, easy fix. See you later.
Okay, but totally switching gears. I wanted to tell you guys about something that has been stuck on my mind ever since I read it. There was an article in the New York Times recently. It was an opinion article, and it was entitled, Let's Hear It for the Average Child. The gist of it is kind of framed talking about students in school and in this season of graduations and valedictorians and awards and scholarships and all the things where you're recognizing who's exceptional. Let's take a moment to step back and also value the people who work hard, even if it only results in a C, you know, an average grade, the people who are friendly and compassionate, you know, the people who show up on time, like the other skills and metrics and which aren't necessarily shown on a report card, but are values in life. Like that's kind of the gist of the article. But I found it not only to be interesting and helpful in that perspective, but also just in like us as adults and the way that we live our lives and parent and work and all the things that sometimes we feel guilty about or that we feel like we have shortcomings on. Like I felt like it was a really reassuring article in that sense as well. So I'm going to link to it in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast because I think everyone should read it and also read it with that sort of broader perspective of how it like applies to your own life, not just like schoolwork. But if you can't read the article, this is the quote that stuck out to me the most. So if you take nothing away, take away this quote, okay? It says, school is the only place in the world where you're expected to excel at everything and all at the same time. Like you're expected to get good grades in a whole range of subjects is what they mean, I think.
Right.
But in real life, you'll excel at what you do best and you can let others excel at what they do best.
Right. And I feel like as adults, that's more understood, right? Like we major in something and then we do that thing. And then we're not also expected to be able to do all the things because we say, no, my specialization is in that thing.
Yeah. It's like why we get very specific jobs is because we're good at like this one skill or this one subject matter. And you're not asked to have 100 other jobs. Like if you're a chemical engineer, you're not also asked to be a children's book author.
Like if you're renovating a duplex, you can't also open the HVAC and find the booklet. You might have to call the dude right. to help with that.
Well, I always think about the advertising agency that I worked at here in Richmond. It was like a much smaller boutique agency than the larger one that we met working at in New York. And it was the first place where I had worked where I felt like that was understood, that like you don't have to have all the skills or be good at everything. Like it was actually encouraged to admit like it is not my strength to read something in detail and proofread it. So we have people in the office who are proofreaders who can double check the work before it goes out to the client. It was okay to say, that's not my skill, so don't give me that task.
Right. But then you took on another task fully, like, but my skill is this. You weren't just like, nothing is my skill.
Well, yeah, I think if I was skillless, I'd probably not have lasted there very long. But I feel like that is something that is helpful to remind ourselves of, because especially in like this like social media world where we constantly can see everyone's strengths broadcast on their social media feed, like they have the perfectly cooked meals and the perfectly decorated house and the most well-behaved children. You know, that thing where people say like you see someone's highlight reels on their social media.
Right. And you think that's their real life.
Well, and you think they're like good at everything. Like they're all lifestyle influencers who have perfect fashion, perfect style, perfect vacations.
They don't shop at Old Navy, guys. Well, they probably don't put coconut oil on their face. Side note.
I don't know if that was a helpful side note.
The funny thing is, in you talking about this, I feel like there were two things that happened right after you read that article that sort of reconfirmed this or regelled this in a funny way. We were both in the kitchen when one of our kids said to us, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up because I'm not like an amazing singer or an amazing artist, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And it gave us this opportunity to talk about how like at that age, neither of us knew what we were going to be. And you know what? Even what we majored in college is not what we actually do now. There are tons of people who figure it out much later, and there is like zero pressure to be the best at anything,
right?
Even in your 20s. So don't take it on when you're a kid. And it was like a really good dialogue, but I think it underscored what you were saying is maybe at that age, they think they need to be great at something to do that.
Well, I think they were lamenting, or maybe not lamenting, but recognizing the fact that like a lot of their friends are already finding like their special interests, like they're really into sports, or they're really into horses, or they're really into singing. And you know, at that age, you project, like, that's what I'm going to be when I grow up.
Right. I'm going to be a marine biologist.
Okay, I was going to say professional baseball player. Like, I feel like every kid when I was growing up was going to be a professional version of whatever sport they played at that time.
Every kid I knew was going to be a marine biologist.
Well, I mean, we understand now that that's not how it works out, but I don't think our children necessarily realize that there's so much time between now and when they're actually picking a career path. And the fact that, like, the career path that you take at college is not necessarily where you end up.
Right. And the second thing that happened like exactly around this time of this article too that reinforced it was more of a grown-up thing. It was that after we released the podcast, I think it was two podcast episodes ago, about how we're not the greatest chefs in the kitchen, but we're working on it, but we're totally owning that we're not Bobby Flay.
Well, it was a big...
I am not Padma Lakshmi even. Wait, who's that guy? I'm not even Guy Fieri, guys. So we're just owning like we're good at one thing and not great at another thing. And the funny reaction to that was people saying, oh my gosh, I'm so relieved that you are bad at cooking. I was like, wait, who said bad? Okay, we are bad. We were like, subpar.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, you are correct.
You are correct. But they were just saying like, it's refreshing because I look at you and you're so good at DIY and I assume you're great at everything. I'm a great chef, but I'm not good at DIY. So it's refreshing to hear you're great at DIY, but you're not a great chef. Like we all excel in different areas. And so it was this nice gelling of that article as grownups having this discussion like, yeah, we all have our strong suits.
Well, I feel like it was a very freeing moment for myself whenever it was that I recognized like, I just don't have a knack for whatever you have to do in the kitchen.
I mean, I think you have a knack. John enjoys it sometimes. I enjoy it never.
Well, maybe part of that is also realizing I don't really have an interest in it. Like I have to really push myself to be engaged in the idea of like loving cooking.
Right. And so if you're listening and you're like, what does this have to do with DIY? I guess we're just...
Nothing.
No, I feel like it has a tie-in because if you're someone who feels like I just always get it wrong and it's not coming natural to me, one, you can just own that and be okay with that and say, but I'm great at blah. Maybe you're awesome with directions. Guys, I'm also awful at directions. I get lost within Costco. But like, there are things we're all good at, right? So the first thing is that maybe it's liberating or freeing to release the expectation that you have to be good at everything. But also, I want to remind you that we weren't born with this innate skill for color and decorating and all that either. It was just an interest we honed. So if you're bad at it, but it's still an interest, don't give up on it and say, I'm bad at it. Just know that it takes years and time and effort and experimentation.
But it also is okay for something to just be an interest and not be a fully developed skill ever. I mean, we can't say all this from the perspective of like, well, we've mastered every skill and we are now perfect at decorating.
Totally. There's always people I see and say like, oh, I wish I could do that like them or faster like them, or ooh, they just had the instinct to hammer that block of wood on top of that other block of wood to not dent it. Like, we still make mistakes. We share them all on this podcast.
I like that very specific example.
I saw Chris Markham the other day and he was trying to get a shelf in, a floating shelf, and he put a piece of wood in front of the floating shelf and he hammered this block of wood. Yes. And I feel like we look for the mallet and we might put like a cloth between it, but duh, a block of wood is so much smarter. So we are still totally learning.
For the record, I know that trick. Sorry, Sherry's not witnessed me do it.
I'm still learning, John Peterson.
Well, I wanted to say the other thing in the article that I thought was also important, because we're still talking here a lot about like skills, like recognizable, measured skills that are like valued in like a vocational sense. But they also point out that there's a lot of like other harder to measure skills like compassion and friendliness and empathy and those things that are also really valuable skills that people have that are very useful that some people don't come to naturally. And if that's where your strength is, those are things that are not taught in school, like history and math is taught.
Right.
But they point out those are things that are going to carry you through life in a way that algebra is not going to. And so if that...
Algebra teachers everywhere. My dad's like, what'd you just say?
Well, I can talk to your dad about the last time I used algebra.
Every math teacher listening, we value math.
No, I use math all the time. I'm just not sure I use algebra.
I bet someone is going to say you use algebra every day because when you check out at a grocery store, you're using algebra to find somehow the measure of X.
Well, I do find X a lot. Okay, I do use algebra frequently. Anyways, the point is that I read that article. It stuck with me. It gave me time to step back and think about, okay, what are the things that I feel like I am good at and the things I bring to the table, you know, in many situations, whether it be work, life, parenting, marriage, and I could be proud of those skills.
Your light bulb skills are like amazing.
Well, thank you.
You're specialized.
And maybe I shouldn't judge myself as harshly or compare myself to others as harshly on the things that don't come to me naturally or that I don't enjoy.
Now I'm trying to think about what Martha Stewart's like probably really bad at, because she seems to be good at so many things.
I'm sure she's not as good of a rapper as you.
That's true.
That's why she works with Snoop Dogg so often, because they complement each other.
Oh, I love Snoop Dogg and Martha so much, guys. That's the best iteration of Martha, is Martha next to Snoop. It's just a foil.
Anyways, like I said before, I'll put a link to the article in the show notes so you guys can take a read. And next up I'm digging something that I never thought I would buy or enjoy in my life, but has become one of my favorite tools lately.
I'm digging something that has changed my world. Like, it might be my favorite word digging of all time on this podcast.
Well, you guys may raise your eyebrows at this.
That was a clue.
But first, we're going to take a quick break.
So let's talk about classics that still feel fresh. This week's sponsor, Annie Selke, has got you covered. We're big fans of her Dash and Albert rugs, as you guys know. We've got one as our stair runner here at home, and if I ever had to cover other stairs in a runner, you bet that I'd buy another Annie Selke rug over any other option. It has been so durable, and it looks great.
But if rug shopping stresses you out, Annie's curated a collection on her website called Designer Favorites, where she's put all of her most classic, best-selling patterns and colors in one spot, alongside a bunch of fresh, new styles, all of which will fit in almost any space and still stand the test of time.
And Annie's debuting a lot of new stuff, including new summery additions to her collaboration with designer Bunny Williams and a whole new collection with designer Mark D. Sykes.
Yeah, his stuff is a cool mix of like East Coast meets West Coast, like American meets European, stripes meet ECAT. I feel like I'm not describing it well, but if you go to annieselke.com/YHL, you can check it all out. That's AnnieSelke.com/YHL. And if you enter code YHL15 at checkout, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's code YHL15. Okay, if you're someone who desires to be a bit more organized or give the appearance of more organization, I feel like what I'm digging this week will help. What I'm digging this week is a label maker.
Wah, 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 wah. It's getting crazy up in here, y'all.
Next level organization. No, I'm not someone who ever thought I would own a label maker. If you heard our episode with the home edit ages ago, I actually said, like, I didn't really like the idea of labeling things like in a closet or a pantry because I felt like it would just shackle you into something and make an inflexible system where if you bought more snacks than one week than another, you couldn't like switch out where your snacks went.
Do you remember what they said?
They thought I was being stupid.
They were like, labels make a system and then things get put away on autopilot. I have to agree. They're pretty awesome.
I get it. But I thought there was a strong anti-label argument that I made.
Yes.
But as
you stood your ground.
I did. But as someone who now owns a label maker, I have to concede.
Labels are awesome.
Well, we got one because we realized it was going to be helpful for a lot of the applications in the duplex to make sure that both the people staying there knew where things were or knew where to put things back, and also for the cleaning people who came in each week to flip the property so they knew, you know, what went where and like where they could find things. So I went on Amazon and just did a quick little search and compared a couple and ended up with a $15 label maker. First of all, I was just surprised it was so cheap. I guess I always pictured like an actual label maker. You know, it looks like a small like computer or word processor thing was going to be like $50, but it was $15.
I think you're like one of those people who's like, remember when DVD players were $200? Like,
how much does a banana cost? $30?
You're Oprah at a grocery store.
Exactly.
Have you guys heard that they asked Oprah like how much she thought maybe it was like a loaf of bread was?
I think she thought a gallon of milk was $10.
And I love Oprah. No shade. She just doesn't grocery shop for herself.
I think Bill Gates did the same thing. Anyways, it's $15. I'll link it in the show notes. It's made by Brother. And the thing that I was particular about when I was finding one was that I wanted one that had multiple fonts.
Of course you did.
I know that sounds so dumb, but I didn't want it to look like a boring, like computer-generated dot matrix printer label.
You wanted Comic Sans.
Right, exactly. Curls, maybe. I don't think it has any of those standard fonts, but it does, I think.
Happily.
I think it does have either 17 or 27 fonts. I forget.
More fonts than you could ever
use. I haven't tried them all. But anyways, it's pretty easy to use. I have not unlocked all the special skills it has because it also has like templates and you can change the margins and all these blah, 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 blah. Actually, my favorite feature is it has like a built-in blade to like cut your label so you don't have to have like separate scissors to cut it.
You like push a button and it clips it and falls out on the table. It's
yes,
pretty great.
Very fancy.
And $15.
Well, I will say that it is more to buy the label tape that goes in it, like the equivalent of the printer paper. You actually have like a little cartridge of label tape that goes in that is a specific color background and a specific color ink. So like you can't change the color of your label on the machine. You actually have to load in a different cartridge. So depending on how many different cartridges you buy, that's the flexibility you have in terms of the actual like color and all that.
But we didn't go crazy. We got black with a white label.
And I am going nuts with this thing at the duplex. Sherry had to hold me back. She's like, we don't have to label every light switch, John.
We wanted to label every single light switch in the house. And I'm like, it would be helpful, but it's ugly. And people figure it out because you know what they do? They turn the light switch on.
We did label some.
We labeled some confusing ones in the bedrooms that you didn't know if they powered the fan or the sconces or whatever. So we labeled those.
Yes. Just a few.
No, but it has been super helpful. Even in the owner's closet for our cleaning folks, we wrote like, these are the queen sheets in this basket. These are the twin sheets in this basket.
Yeah. So I will put a link to it in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast in case you are interested in bringing a label maker into your life. Maybe after we're done labeling at the duplex, I'll bring it home. Or I will Amazon Prime another one to keep here.
No, I think we should bring it home.
Okay.
Two label makers is too many.
This is the problem with Amazon Prime, I'm telling you guys.
Okay, and this week what I'm digging is something that has a cult following. Remember I said this might be my favorite thing I've dug the entire time we've done We're Digging In? We're on episode 144 right now, so that's a whole lot of diggings. It's called Boy Brow.
Boy Brow.
By Glossier. I think it's Glossier. It's spelled Glossier, but like you don't say Glossier because it's French.
G-L-O-S-S-I-E-R.
Yes. And it's one of those things that everybody talks about. It's all over Facebook. I even get Instagram ads for it. I think I said I don't click on Instagram ads and I don't get them. This one I've watched. They found me on Facebook. They followed me on all
You've
my
devices.
You've
opened the floodgates.
I've opened the floodgates by ordering this. But I can only attest to the brown tone because I know that everyone has different.
Wait, what is it?
It's like an eyebrow. I'm getting there. It is basically like a tiny spoolie, like a little wand that you'd put mascara on. Hold on, I'm going to show John. See, like a tiny mascara wand.
Mm-hmm.
And you brush it onto your eyebrows like you're putting mascara on your eyebrows. And you kind of stand them up when you do it. Dudes, you get like Brooke Shield level brows, but it is super natural. And I have even dug a brow pencil probably 100 episodes
ago. It's super natural. It's ghost makeup.
It's extra natural. Uber natural.
It's paranormal.
No, you're going the wrong way. It just looks so natural. I will do a video and I'll put it on Insta stories and I will put a picture in the show notes or something for you guys. I just watched the demonstrations of it and I knew it looked natural on the model, but that doesn't always translate, right? Like things that look great on a model. I've bought mascara that looked great on a model and it's clumpy on me or something like that. So this is phenomenally better than the eyebrow pencil I once dug. Just because that you crayon on, you like draw it on and then you brush it with a spoolie afterwards. This is just one step. You just spoolie it on and it looks so real. I just can't get over it. You'll see in the video I share. And if you're listening and you're like, no, I don't like emphasize my eyebrows. I like put mascara on my eyelashes or I put lipstick on my mouth.
So this, I say it's 2019, folks. Everyone does their eyebrows.
Well, I feel like eyebrows are like the unsung hero of the face. And defining your eyebrows on anyone, whether you're fair or not. Like I have friends who have really fair eyebrows and they use the lighter boy brow or they get micro, what's that called?
Microblading.
Yes. How do you know that?
Because I am around you and you...
Well, I forgot the term. I almost said microdermabrasion, but that's something for your skin.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like a light tattooing of your eyebrows. This is like that, except it's removable and it's not tattooing and it's just like amazing. And you could play around with different tones. I think they have a black and a blonde. I don't know if they have a red or something like that. But I think if you use the blonde and you're a redhead, it probably would be good. But I am a brunette and the brown is amazing. There's even a 10% off if you've never used Glossier, which of course I use because I'm the coupon code queen. I'll put the link in the show notes that should get the pop-up that says 10% off your first order if it's your first order. I'm so obsessed with this. Literally, it arrived and I was like, I think I should order more for when this runs out because I am that into it. Eyebrows are the window to the face and the soul. Eyes are the window to the soul. Eyebrows are the frame to the window.
They're the curtains.
Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
And a big thanks to everyone who has ever rated, reviewed, subscribed to, or told someone about our show. It's a huge help, and we really couldn't do this without you guys keeping us going.
Yes, and thanks to everyone who tells us what you do while you listen. Like Faith on Instagram, who said our podcast kept her awake on a 2-hour drive home from the airport after her flight was delayed 6 hours, so she didn't land until 2 a.m.
Well, and the real kicker was that her car battery was dead in the airport parking garage, just like ours had been when we came back from Chicago.
Oh, it's the worst. Sorry, Faith.
And as you know, you can find our show notes over at younghouselove.com/podcast. This week, we've got links to The Label Maker, Sherry's eyebrow stuff, and that article about not being the best at everything.
And against my better judgment, I will put a link to those addictive pistachio squares. Just know that you have been warned.
Later.
Bye.
The dishwasher has chosen now to make its loudest sounds.
It's like,
Really gotta get these clean. Trying to record a podcast here.